Hello and welcome again to our Revenue Radio. This is Jeff Dance. We are powered by Kasuf and Company, Kasuf Healthcare Solutions, where we enhance the business of medicine. Our Revenue Radio is designed to help you as the practice manager or practice owner, physician, maximize your revenue in your practice and in your business. Today, it's great to have Marty Sandifer back with us. Marty is the Director of Revenue Cycle Management. Marty, good to have you here. She's our Revenue Cycle Manager at Kasuf Healthcare Solutions. Today, we're going to be discussing a topic that is kind of confusing to a lot of folks, but we know it's really important. It's the aged AR dilemma. AR, the accounts receivable side of the business and revenue cycle. Marty, it's great to have you here.
It's great to be here.
Good. Tell us or explain a little bit about the aging AR report, the process, how it's structured, why it's so important, and then we'll get into a few more details and maybe pull out our slide rules and calculators and do a little math later on. So go ahead, tell us why this is so important as a topic.
Well, I guess the first reason that it's so important is that we want our money and we want it now, right?
That's right.
The sooner the money gets in the bank, the better.
That
is the number one reason that we want it. To monitor that, what we need to do is run aged AR reports. And every practice management system should have a reporting package that can give you, in some form or fashion, your aged accounts receivable. You can break that down into insurance or patient, or a total of both. Each different type of aged AR is handled a little differently. The patient AR, and I don't know that we'll focus too much on that today. We'll mainly talk about insurance AR, but the patient AR is perhaps the most difficult for practices to navigate their way through because the physicians have such a personal relationship with their patients, and those that are sometimes have difficulty in paying, physicians are more likely to either adjust that off as a courtesy or charity AR, set up payment plans. It's a lot more of a manual process.
But let me interrupt you.
Yes.
It's still the responsibility of the practice to collect that, recover it. It's still part of the patient's responsibility to pay that.
It is. And it's I think it's the hardest for the practice to navigate their way through. And the best thing I can say about patient AR is to set your expectations when the patient walks in the door. Be prepared. Run your eligibility checks. See what their benefit coverage covers, what their benefits cover. Know what the patient's out-of-pocket will be before they get there. Do they have a deductible? Have they met that deductible? And those type of questions. And then when the patient even calls or we do a reminder call, remind them, be prepared to pay for any copays or deductibles. When they walk in the door, you can say for today's visit is going to be out-of-pocket for you. You know, $75 is your copay, $65 is your copay. How would you like to pay for that? And you set that expectation up front. Once a patient gets out of the office, you are a lot less likely to collect from them. You are 90% able to collect while they're there. And then it goes down from there when they walk out the door. So setting expectations and being prepared. Know your patient base, know who their payers are, and know how to read those eligibility checks. Mm-hmm. So that's the biggest thing for patient AR.
And that then takes a lot of training up front, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
At the front
desk.
Yeah.
Every practice management system's eligibility check works differently. Some you can run based on appointments up to 2 to 4 days in advance. Reading those eligibility checks and what the payers send back to the practice, you really need to know what to look for. Mm-hmm. And we try to very much so to help our clients navigate that and understand how to read those responses they get back from the payers.
Now, is that, I'll call them the front desk person, are they looking at this report that has the 0 to 30, 31 to 60, those buckets that are broken out and seeing it by month? And is that what they're looking at?
No, most practice management systems will, at the check-in or from the appointment scheduling system, when you arrive, that patient will bring up their demographics. Most of them have a patient balance on there. A lot of my practices that I work with, they have notes that they put on. Mm-hmm. And so they know that if this is they've had trouble getting in touch with a patient, or they need updated insurance information, they'll communicate via messages. But most practice management systems will tell you what the patients owe if they have an outstanding balance, and most will prompt for a copay. Mm-hmm. If they don't, preparation can be made utilizing your back office and some type of reporting. I know we do that for several of our clients.
Yeah, I understand you've developed a kind of a tool, if you will, which really is developed into a customer service interaction, if you will. Talk just a little bit about how that innovation and collaboration with your clients is working.
It's going well. It came out of a need. When you're talking about your front desk receptionist, they're the ones who greet your patients. The patients are already anxious. They have to come to the doctor. Many of them don't want to talk about money. And so your receptionist needs to know why they owe their balance. But many of your reception personnel, they don't have a billing background. And so they were anxious and became very stressed trying to look through a patient ledger, to answer the patient's questions. And just in conversation with them, and I said, you know, wouldn't it be helpful if we took our client representatives, our client account reps, and they went through your appointment scheduling the previous day, and we sent you notes on all the patient balances and who has copays, and we can alphabetize that, we could do it by doctor, however it works mm-hmm. best for your practice. And they thought that was worth a try, and it was probably 3 days, and I was getting emails, this is wonderful, this is working. And so the account reps will put notes on there, collect, you know, $200 remaining Medicare deductible for the patient from their January visit.
Right.
After that, they've met their deductible, their secondary will pick up the rest.
Right.
It's been invaluable for that front desk.
So really, from a revenue cycle outsource standpoint, there's some resources there that most smaller practices can't afford, but from an outsource standpoint, there is some return there.
Absolutely.
Good. So from a management standpoint, as you're looking at aged AR, and we do get into those buckets, and there's mm-hmm. kind of that Marty factor I've heard about, that, you know, what you're really, how you approach that and the way you look at that landscape on that, that report, help us understand what you're looking for as you see all of those numbers moving across, you know, from month to month, and then down the time buckets. Give us some understanding of how to read that and what to really analyze.
Sure. So your aged AR reports need to be run, first of all, by date of service.
Okay.
A lot of your insurance follow-up personnel will argue, I don't want to know from date of service, I want to know from the date of responsibility. So if they're following up on a secondary, they don't want to know that it's 180 days. They want to know it's only been in my bucket for 30 days. My argument to that is, that's nice to look at just for you to know, but that money is still 180 days old.
So is that responsibility date, is that a claim date, or is that just when it changes financial class?
That is so there's the date of service, the date services were rendered, mm-hmm. and hopefully that claim is filed to the insurance carrier the next day.
Right.
Okay,
yep.
Or the next business day.
Right.
So you don't have a large lag time there.
Right.
Then depending on your payer, when they get the claim, and of course you want to do everything you can to make sure that claim is clean mm-hmm. when it goes out the
right.
door, which is a whole nother topic. But if they get a clean claim and it's adjudicated, based on the payer, most will be 7 to 21 days to pay those claims. And so you need to make sure you're getting those out. once that's done, if say your primary payer pays, then the responsibility then goes to the secondary. And so that's kind of a changing that financial class, if you will, or changing responsibility. So if you have, for example, Medicare primary, Blue Cross secondary, I've worked in practices before where those were two different follow-up personnel, staff members. And so Medicare, they may have gotten a claim that wasn't clean and they had to send in a reconsideration. And so the payment was a little delayed. Mm-hmm. And then when it hit Blue Cross as the secondary, it may only have been there for a couple of days. But if it took 3 months to get that appeal or payment from Medicare,
right,
the claim is still that old.
Right.
But your Blue Cross follow-up person doesn't want to feel like their claims are that old.
Right.
So I do run them both ways because I do need to see
right
how fast each individual is getting those claims paid.
Yeah, and that's a super point there in that you're not trying to find fault in someone that works with and for you. It's a matter of having the proper controls and understanding what the
right,
what the information is saying to you so that you can make the right decisions.
That's right. Exactly right. Yeah. And even if something gets old or ages in a bucket for a while, you need to understand why.
Right.
Why is it getting that old? That's not, of course, to place blame. It's to get help.
Right.
And
write-offs, and I guess once it moves to collections, where do you see that occurring in the AR report?
So different type of adjustments or write-offs. There are contractual write-offs. So you have your charge and then you have your payer's allowed amount.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot bill, balance bill is what that's called,
right,
the difference between your charge and the allowed amount. So that's a contractual adjustment. And so that is written off depending on the payer and your practice management system. Some can write that off at the time of the charge, which is great because then it's off your books. You're not going to get that
right
money. That is also kind of a tedious task to go in and keep up with those.
Right.
So most just wait until the remittance comes in from the payer, and then the payment is applied, the adjustment is taken, and then the responsibility is either moved to a secondary, tertiary, or to a patient balance.
Well, we could follow that down a rabbit trail into the what to ask for when you're selecting a practice
yes
management system.
Yes,
and
very
how you
so
like to see your reports run and such. I know you run off of, you've told me, what, 11 different systems?
I have used about 11 different systems
yeah
over the course of my career,
right,
currently
right
using 8 different
but,
ones.
It's certainly a matter of what you want to see on a report and can that system
that's right
function. What are some rules of thumb then in that AR report? What are some rules of thumb that you really kind of look for, again, as you're analyzing?
So especially when we receive a new client,
mm-hmm,
the first thing I want to do is run an insurance aged AR report to see where the money is. I run that report by payer, and my goal for all AR is for that 121 plus bucket, anything over that should be less than 10%. That's my goal, less than 10%. If it's less than 15, you know, that's kind of a B minus, C plus in my book, but
mm-hmm
let's get that to 10 and below and keep that below 10. So I run that by payer, and I look specifically first at the payers with short timely filing guidelines, your UnitedHealthcare.
Yeah, you've got to prioritize somehow.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
So the first thing is to look at your payers with the timely filing and see what is getting near timely filing. Get those out the door, because
mm-hmm
if you can get them out the door and have them adjudicated, then if something is wrong with them, you do have your corrected claims time.
Right.
Gives you a little breathing room.
Right.
And so that's the first priority. The second priority is to look at those by payer again, and you want to look at anything, to me, over 365 days. The reason is your Medicare, your Medicaid, our Blue Cross of Alabama, on those three particular, which are our largest payers,
mm-hmm,
you have 365 days from the date of service to get that claim in. So I look at anything over that for those three payers to make sure, have those been adjudicated? If they haven't, as much as you try and cry and plead and beg, you're not going to get those paid.
You really missed that window.
You've missed it.
Right.
And the best thing you can do at that point, for the sake of everyone, is to bite the bullet and just adjust those off. Because you will not get paid.
Right. And as the billing manager, you certainly want the business owner, the physician, to bless that.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. We will adjust off nothing, especially like that, that is a large balance without quantifying it and saying you have $10,000 in Medicare claims from 2 years ago that, for everything that we can tell, Medicare never got these claims.
So being realistic.
Yes.
You see that 120 bucket, and you go, oh, how are we ever going to get this? Not all is lost.
No.
It just takes some elbow grease on the revenue cycle team.
It does.
And really getting in there and figuring out, again, that prioritization.
That's right.
But we also have to be realistic that's hard money to get.
It's very hard money to get because most of the claims that have been adjudicated have been, if they're still on the books, then there's a problem with them somewhere. And at that point, you probably need to run another report, which is for zero pays, is what we call. You know, I've had
people talked about zero and low. You know, it kind of runs together, and then you're what you're supposed to be looking at.
Zero pays are some of the most important payments, if you will, to a business, because that's telling me I'm not going to pay you. But what it also tells me is, why are you not paying me?
Right.
And if I know why you're not paying me, then I can answer your question. And at that point, so you go after those first. What is out there that's been adjudicated that is still sitting in a time frame that we can get money, and let's go after it.
Right.
Sort those by denial reason, your remark codes. Sort them, you know, first of all, of course, by payer, and then by that denial, see if there's a pattern. Because it could be something as easy as an office visit with an internal procedure that's bundled.
Right.
And so that, you're not going to get paid for one of those. You get those off, but you provide that feedback to the providers.
Well, let's switch gears for a moment here and kind of get into some of the metrics that we see. You know, there's the gross collections. There's we're meeting with clients, you meet with staff, whoever, and there that word collections jumps up. Well, is that what I charge? Is that what I get? Is that what I've sent over to a collection agency? How do we handle that semantics with that word collections? And then now we got gross collections. What is that? How do you calculate that?
So your gross collection is basically, and usually you define a time frame. We we do this monthly. So we just closed the month of February. So for the month of February, for all the payments that we took in, we take that amount and divide it by the charges that we put on the books during that same time frame.
Okay, so the charge is the denominator and the note?
Yes,
yep.
Payments
divided
by
the... Make sure our long division's right here.
Yes, look.
Yep.
I didn't know there was going to be a pop quiz.
So the that charge goes into what was actually collected, which will give you a percentage.
That's your gross collections.
Okay, and that's going to be typically lower than the net collection. And why is that?
Because in your net collection, you take your charge amount that you put on the books in that time frame, and then you take your adjustment, your contractual adjustments. And that is money that you could not collect anyway, and you subtract that from your charge amount, and then you take that number and divide it into your payments.
Right. So then that brings, really, the net collection is what I'm supposed to be getting for you.
That's correct.
To begin with, it's
not
always 100%.
It's
You've got that payer.
There are
and
timing
insurance,
issues. You know, for charges that you put on the books, if you're a surgeon's office in the last 3 days of the month, happen to fall on your surgery days, there's no way to get those paid.
Right.
And so your charges will be up, but your payments and adjustments may have not been realized for those yet.
Right. And if you have charges that go in at the end of the month,
correct,
you're never going to see that unless you're a cash business.
That's
that
right.
day. So then we look at, all right, how many days is my money sitting out there, or how fast am I turning it, I guess is the other way to say it. So on the AR days, is that looking at over a full year or the last month? How do you typically structure your calculation on AR days?
You can do it over a year, 6 months. The general rule is 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
So you take the number of days in the last calendar 3 months. You use that for your calculation. And your goal, our goal overall, is less than 32 days.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, based on the type of specialty that you are or type of practice, that will vary from time to time. Things that also add into that factor is how fast the charges get put on the books and out the door.
Right.
And so if you have a physician who likes to hold charges, then that's going to drive those days up because it's going to take longer to get
those face sheets that come back.
Yes.
Yeah, you got to track them down. Then you've got to get the demographics and such. Yeah.
Yes, the key word is automate.
Right.
As many things as you can automate.
Right. As you're staying up on things, we've got this surprise billing situation going on that's mm-hmm. new legislation. What else are you seeing that's kind of new, maybe payer, not necessarily calling out payers, but some things, trends that you're seeing that are affecting AR right now?
Well, the most recent, and I just had a couple of emails on this. Last year, all of the COVID vaccines were billed to Medicare, what we call red, white, and blue, your traditional Medicare, even if a patient had an Advantage plan. So even if they were covered by Blue Advantage or Aviva Medicare, Cigna Health Springs, you still filed your vaccine, your COVID vaccine, to red, white, and blue traditional mm-hmm. Medicare. That changed January 1 of this year. But we are seeing not all Advantage plans have gotten that memo yet.
Right.
And so we're seeing some denials on those. And that takes contacting your payer rep if you have one, contacting the payers, providing them with the information from CMS.
Sure, sure.
And so that's one of the most recent ones that I see.
Yeah. Is any of that going to the patient and then the patient flooding the calls?
No. No, it should not be going to the patient. That should all be handled internally. And that would be on a denial report.
Right.
And so you want, after you post a remit, then you want to know what didn't pay on there and why.
Sure.
And so you need your denial reports and always work your remittances.
Yeah. Well, it sounds to me like the AR dilemma, the aged AR dilemma, is one, really understanding what the report is and understanding what those what can and can't be done mm-hmm. To correct the situation. And really, once you have that in place, being consistent with it and really helping the business owner or the decision maker really know what they're looking at and what are priorities.
Right, that's right. You can help them make some business decisions. If you have a charge, an office procedure that's bundled for 90% of your payers, are you still going to charge it? Is it worth it for the 10% that may cover it?
Right.
And that's not a decision I will make, but it is information I'll present and let that business owner know that. Because if you're putting that charge on the books and you're not going to get paid for it, you're inflating your charges a little bit.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It could possibly a lot depending on the procedure. So you just have to educate providers, office staff, and then I try to continually educate my staff mm-hmm. and have them educate me as well on what they're seeing.
Right. Good. Well, what are the last pearls of wisdom before we sign off for today from Revenue Cycle Land that Marty wants to impart to the audience?
Well, if I could say anything, it would be clean claims, make sure that you've done everything to pre-scrub those claims and that you get the information out the door clean. You'll get paid faster. That's on insurance money. On patient money, set expectations and educate your employees. Great. Collect money when the patient's in the office.
Great. Well, Marty, thank you so much. I know this is just the tip of the iceberg as we deal with a really complex part of our business. And thanks for helping us get started on that and thinking a little more clearly about how we look at that aged AR report and all that goes into it and all the background calculations and such. I hope we haven't overwhelmed anyone today, but I think it's good practical reminders and advice. So again, thank you for being a part of Revenue Radio.
Enjoyed
to
it.
Our listeners, thank you for being a part of Revenue Radio, being back with us today. This is Jeff Dance. We're powered by Kasuf and Company, Kasuf Healthcare Solutions, where we enhance the business of medicine. We hope to have you back soon with us as we explore other topics that practical information and tools that can make your business in healthcare maximized to its fullest potential. Thank you and have a great day.
Thank you for tuning in to the Kasuf Podcast Network. Resources for today's episode are linked in the episode notes. Thank you to our producer, Russ Dorsey, and for Kasuf for powering this podcast. Be sure to stay up to date on new episodes and more information about today's episode by following @KasufCo. Until next time, thanks for tuning in.